Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 63 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I'm your host, Kofi Outlaw, and today I have with me my regular co-host, Matthew Aguilar.
What's up, everybody?
Janelle Wheeler's here.
Hey, guys.
And getting a rare double back-to-back appearance is Mr. Charlie Ridgely.
What's going on?
And, of course, we've been telling you for a while now, we had to bring Charlie back because, you know, we believe in fairness in this show, and we had a running bet with Mr. Ridgely that he could... about New Mutants and the fate of that movie. And on a technicality, he may have won, but it's still a win. A W is a W. I'm a big believer in that. So he's here to take his victory lap in the form of giving you guys a full New Mutants review and kind of tell you about how this movie was and was it worth all the hype, the wait, and everything we've gone through emotionally with this movie. Plus, he's also somebody who saw Bill and Ted Face the Music this weekend, now that it's out on demand, and so Charlie's also going to let us know about that. So he's holding that on review section today. But we are also going to talk about new comic books, of course, and we got some things to put you up on, something that's come to Netflix that has been around but is getting a lot more attention and well-deserved attention, in my opinion. So we are going to talk about that. Plus, we got to talk about new trailers for The Walking Dead Season 10 finale, quote-unquote, the new entry in Haunting of Hill House, The Haunting of Bly Manor, Marvel's Avengers. Matt is excited about something happening there, so we're going to let him share his excitement with you. But up first, we usually don't get too somber or serious on the show just because we're supposed to be a diversion from all of that serious stuff. We're like the anti-2020. But, you know, something happened this week that really kind of touched everybody in fandom and has a lot of people mourning. And as we're recording this, we're getting ready to host an epic quarantine watch party tonight with comic book and a lot of fans. And that, of course, is the death of Chadwick Boseman, the star of Get On Up, 42, Black Panther, which, of course, he is best known for. And, so Chadwick Boseman passed away from colon cancer, which he was diagnosed with stage 3 back in 2016, which is the time when his career like was really just hitting the biggest phase that it ever would. Captain America Civil War came out that year where he made his debut as Prince T'Challa, the Black Panther. And he had already gained so much acclaim for playing Jackie Robinson and for playing James Brown in Get On Up, which kind of garnered awards attention, and for just being this really strong kind of character actor. And if you, like, it's so interesting, we're going to talk about his career, but like if you go back and look over the list of things he had done kind of leading up to his big screen roles, I mean, it was just, there's so many things he hit in genre TV, even from like Lie to Me, Justified, Fringe, he was in an episode of, and all those big kind of procedurals like Cold Case, things like that. It's going to be crazy where you see his face pop up in you and you when you're rewatching some old stuff. And he was just such a massive talent, and, you know, I can't understate just, like, how much he impacted things through Black Panther and really kind of changed the landscape of cinema and culture about offering things with, you know, mostly Black cast, Black characters, and telling those kinds of stories, improving what kind of international draw those stories could have. And a lot of that, for all of the great contributions of the director, Ryan Coogler, and that awesome ensemble cast that we had, you know, it all did come down to the shoulders of Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa, Black Panther, which really he carried that movie on his shoulders a lot. And, you know, he had help from people, very talented people like Michael B. Jordan, but really, really capturing the regality and kind of nobility of T'Challa and kind of the deeper character strokes that Marvel Comics fans had known about for years really wasn't a guarantee in the Hollywood landscape, but it was in Chadwick Boseman's hands. You know what I mean? And he really changed things. And I can't just state enough how hard it is to kind of process his loss for a lot of people, especially young people, especially young people of color who just had this hero kind of emerge in the last year and really kind of change their lives. And just having to explain that in my own son, we caught Black Panther when it made its TV debut a little bit ago. And, you know, he was just starting to kind of connect that. And now I have to like kind of wonder, like, what do I do? Do I push that connection right now before I have to explain to him, like, you know, why this guy he recognizes as Black Panther doesn't show up anymore? Yeah, and it's just a weird time, as I alluded to in a tweet. This particular moment in time in history, it was just kind of like a double left hook from just everything that's going on in American society right now, and to just kind of have this happen to this iconic, you know, hero, Black hero, was it was pretty gut-wrenching. So, yeah, you know, we're here.
I'm seriously about to cry. Like, I'm trying so hard not to cry with that beautiful... Oh my gosh. I'm like, I'm trying to distract myself from what you're saying because you covered it so beautifully that I'm literally like, my nose is turning red and I'm getting tears in my eyes. It's beautiful.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't purport to feel many things anymore, but this one I did definitely feel. And so like, yeah, this and just a loss of talent is just so painful always. And it's been a crazy year with, you know, Kobe, society, Chadwick Boseman. I mean, yeah, it's pretty heavy one. But as always, we're all going to be mourning Chadwick Boseman, but we're also, you know, this is a geek space, so we also celebrate things very well. We do that New Orleans style kind of mourning. So we're going to be holding a quarantine watch party too. By the time you have heard this, it'll be over, but I'm sure you've heard about it if you keep up with anything comic book related. And we're going to celebrate Chadwick Boseman and that film and kind of what he brought in, you know, through it all, hopefully find some ways that we can carry forward in and honor this man and what he brought to the table and everything he did for us. So
you probably brought a lot of people to tears just now.
Well, I mean,
a really lovely way. And it's nice because I saw that you tweeted this, like, we all mourn together. And that tweet was like beautifully said. And yeah
it's gonna... like I said, I mean, it's hard for me to remember feelings sometimes, but you know, there are these rare moments when I break through. And this is one of them. So, yeah, if you guys ever want to talk about it, you can always hit us up at the hashtag Comic Book Nation or everybody else at their tweets and stuff. And we love to hear from you and your thoughts. If you have any stories, memories, things like that. Yeah, so we're going to keep trudging through 2020 together because, my God, who knows? Anybody else? I kind of just took up all the air there. Anybody else have anything to share?
I mean, there's nothing that I don't think hasn't been said. It sucks. It's gutting and... Yeah, it hurts.
If you want to know the power of this loss, Charlie Ridgely being at a loss for words says it all.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and that's funny, but like it's also true. You know,
I know. That's why I like saying things like that. It is funny, you know, but it's also true. Like
I've never hurt or cried over a celebrity that I don't know. Like, yeah. You know, but then Friday happened and that, you know, was totally different.
It was it was rarely traumatizing that I was like in the middle of like putting my kids to bed and my phone started like blowing up, which is weird for somebody you don't know, but it was like alarm bells were like going off on my phone and all these people at once were like trying to contact me, and I was just like, what? And I was just like stuck in my garage taking out the trash, and then I realized I'd been there for like 45 minutes just like,
oh my gosh,
banning, because I was just like, what, like talking to people and just like trying to process like what is happening, like what are you talking about? Because you know as they say, that old great saying, the graveyard is filled with indispensable men, and it's just like you forget that because you think like, you know, people are protected. Oh, and we're not even covering the biggest part. I gave that great eulogy and I left out the biggest part, which is that Chadwick Boseman made this movie, made this happen, this phenomenon, visited people, did humanitarian work, helped out other actors, and did all of this while he was battling cancer. So the man was like a real life god superhero. So yeah, you might see that floating around Twitter, but that's not a fake or kind of hyperbolic statement.
it's very rare that I feel like in someone's death like that, they become even more of a hero, you know, like it wasn't some accident, you know, like with Kobe, there was some unfortunate, tragic accident. It's like when Chadwick died, it was shocking the same way it was shocking with Kobe. But then we learned about the last 4 years and how he's been spending them. And it's just, I mean, it makes it harder and it makes you appreciate even more what you thought you couldn't appreciate anymore.
Well, I just look back now and I just look and see those production photos of Black Panther and I see him sitting in that suit in front of a green screen. And, you know, how many actors are so insecure and say, like, you know, how silly they feel or whatever. And it would be so easy for me in that position to be like, man, I'm wasting my life, and like just get up and throw off the suit and be like, I got to go to Paris, or I got to do something and I got to do more stuff. And just the level of dedication that he's just imagining, and in front of a green screen, imagining all these things that he has to bring to life. It is just, you know, the will and the belief and the faith and the dedication. And to see it pay off makes you really appreciate that phenomenon even more, because we didn't even know how.
And to learn how much, I mean, when the Ryan Coogler paid tribute to Chadwick and in his writing and his words, to learn just how much Chadwick did for that film and that role, like so much more than we think an actor, you know, typically does for something like that. Like how many decisions were really fueled by him, and how many, you know, how many directions that this movie went, like how much he had to do with that. Not only because he thought it was a good idea, but because he wanted to respect that culture as perfectly as possible. He wanted to represent those people. He wanted to be that leader so much that he made sure that every decision, you know, fueled that route. It was really, really impressive to learn about how he spent that time
while battling colon cancer. So yeah, man, you know, as we say, we don't curse here usually, but cancer is a real thing. So that's how we all feel. And we're going to miss Chadwick Boseman. And yeah, the man's even more of a superhero, as Charlie pointed out. All right. So let's get it back to a lighter note, because we've done the somber part and we are supposed to be a diversionary place. And there's no better diversion than dipping back into the world of Karate Kid. Cobra Kai is on Netflix now, and a lot of people are really discovering this thing as if it's a new thing, but it was a YouTube series that they tried to launch when they were pushing their original content. And naturally, since you had to pay for it and do that, and people were like, I'm not paying for YouTube, Cobra Kai didn't get the kind of shine that it deserved. But it built a cult following, and I had to cover this at some Comic Cons and stuff. And, you know, when I got in there and got to see it, I was like, oh, and rightly so. Like, this show is one of the better kind of applications of that direct sequel concept that you're going to find. And if you don't know, like, what Cobra Kai is all about, it's about the original two characters from The Karate Kid, who Daniel LaRusso, who was Ralph Macchio, and Johnny Lawrence, William Zabaka, who fought in that big epic karate tournament, and Zabaka and Johnny Lawrence lost when Danny performs, you know, Mr. Miyagi's crane kick and smacks him in the face and wins the karate tournament, and then starts the whole journey of the Karate Kid, right? So this series kind of picks up years later when they're all adults, and it's like very real time. They're all adults now, and Johnny is just this kind of burned out loser handyman who has lived in the shadow of that failure from all time, while Danny is a successful family man and car dealer and all this businessman. And it's now told from Johnny's perspective, for the reason why he, in the pilot episode, if you watch it, he kind of comes up with the motivation to kind of dust himself off and reopen the Cobra Kai, you know, dojo, and takes on a first student who was this little Latin kid. But this is just one of the, like I said, best direct sequel concepts that I've seen. And it is a funny show. And I've seen like parts of season two. It had two seasons, and that's kind of where I caught wind of it when I was.
Oh, season two is even better than season one.
And like, I saw like the big, big action fight sequence and things like that. And some big things happen. But just going back now and being able to like actually watch the series and have it available, I'm glad Netflix scooped it up. It's like topping the trending things, I think, today.
It's been number one on Netflix since Saturday.
Yeah, so. Rightly so. Like, these actors, and it's just great. And what makes this series is just the commitment that people like William Zabka and Ralph Macchio and all the other people, kind of a lot of the people who return from the original movie, Martin Cove, like, bring to the series, and how they're willing to kind of riff on real life or meta commentary about their careers and how things have gone and what those 80s kind of like weird testosterone action flicks were like compared to a modern setting. And our modern sensibilities. So
I was relieved that they can act. I was like, oh, thank God. Cause you know, sometimes the kid actors grow up and they've kind of lost their touch a little bit. And I was pleasantly surprised. Kofi, yeah. I asked him this morning, should I watch anything? And he goes, you know what? Go give Cobra Kai a watch. And I cannot stop. I'm on like episode 4 and he texted me at like 11.
Yeah, so I think I watched both seasons in like 2 days, three days, maybe.
I'm obsessed. I love it. But I also, like, that is my childhood. Like, we're all kind of around the same age group. So I feel like those, just that hits that really sentimental value. I mean, like,
none of us were Jaden Smith Karate Kids. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
I was not a Jaden Smith Karate Kid, but I did not watch Karate Kid until like 2 or 3 months ago.
What?
Oh, man.
It was one of my blind spots. I just never, it just missed me. And I never caught it. And they were all on Netflix. And so I watched the first two.
How have you even known how to wax a car, bro?
I mean, I know all the stuff about Karate Kid, but I just never actually watched Karate Kid. And I finally did a couple months ago when I heard about Cobra Kai coming to Netflix, and then I binged through all of Cobra Kai like right in a row, and you know.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's all to say. We could sit here and just be like freaking out about Cobra Kai over and over. But that's all to say, like, give it a watch. It's on Netflix and it deserves season 3. And I don't know if it's confirmed yet. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I don't
think
it's
confirmed.
Been. Oh, is it? Is it
yeah, gone? It's confirmed for 2021 on Netflix.
Okay, boom, good. So that's safe. You don't have to do anything. Just watch it then.
Yeah.
We got season 3 in the bag already. So
the pressure is
I need you for nothing. So go back to just watching your content. All right. Cobra Kai, but check that out. Yeah. Okay, so moving right along from that, we got new trailer for The Walking Dead season finale and Haunting of Bly Manor. Janelle, you want to take us through the Walking Dead trailer?
I mean, yeah, I was actually surprised with this. Obviously, there's like a Walking Dead special event coming up. It's kind of like the season finale that we never got because it was supposed to air in April. It got moved to October. I think they're doing 2 bonus episodes for the season or maybe even more in early next year. So they're not really finishing the season. That's what I've heard. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's totally fine. They're calling it like the final showdown, but not the finale. So it's basically the Whisperer War is coming to a head. We have a lot of our kind of OGs, our favorite beginning cast, like Melissa, aka Carol and Daryl, and we don't know kind of where they're at. From what we've heard from Greg Nicotero is they will be walking through the Whisperer Horde, but it's going to be really crazy because now they also have to avoid the Whisperers as well as the Walkers. They're going to be covered in guts, doing the whole like Glenn callback to the first season where he like covered himself in guts, being able to walk and maneuver around Walkers. And I'm really excited to see where this goes. I'm not going to lie. The teaser, I feel like I haven't gotten much information from that. It just like, I think it was well done. It's well edited. It, you know, we know what's coming. We've had a long time to think about this, but there's not any big reveals in this little trailer, and that's okay. Like, I'm okay with that. I think it's October 4th. Do you guys confirm? I think it's going to be aired on October 4th. And it's going to be a huge like lead up. They're going to show a bunch of episodes prior to, So The Walking Dead season 10 episode marathon leading up to the new episode. And then there's going to be a Walking Dead preview special 2020 with Chris Hardwick. And it's just going to be a lot of information for The Walking Dead fans. And I'm excited about it.
That's awesome.
All right. Okay. There you go. I don't think you're going to have a better sell on why to watch The Walking Dead than that. Okay, so big Whisperer War final showdown's coming. Let's jump over to The Haunting of Bly Manor. The Haunting of Hill House was a hit for Netflix, and we're getting this, but it's going American Horror Story style within different anthologies. And this is kind of drawn from the iconic supernatural stories of Henry James, which I just obviously read off because I would never talk like that. And it's about Bly Manor and the kind of ghost stories of that location. Yeah, I just was...
I love the realness there.
It just sounded... It sounded ridiculous coming out of my mouth, and I really was reading it. I was, like, trying to just describe it, and I was just like, oh, man. And Victoria Pedretti, who who played, I forget her name in the first season, but she was the Nell. She was the kind Nell, of the yeah. sibling who killed herself. So she was only kind of had a supporting role in that, but she was also excellent in You season two, which, yeah. Oh man, that was as love. Wow. Yeah. That was great.
So good.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Me and Matt would get down on some You, but, so she'll be taking the kind of the principal role in this one. And Henry Thomas, who played her twin brother in Hill House, will be also.
Henry Thomas was her dad.
Oh, was her dad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, her brother.
I remember now. I'm thinking of what's his name, the guy?
Oliver Jackson.
Oliver Jackson Cohen.
Cohen,
Yeah.
Invisible Man.
Yeah. That's. Invisible. I get all these names kind of chewed up sometimes.
I will never forget Hill House because of you, Kofi. I mean, you know, that show came out.
Oh,
everyone was talking about it. Kofi and I used to sit next to each other in the office before we rearranged
memories.
Stuff. And he kept telling me to watch his show. And I was like, I'm going to. I just haven't gotten to it yet. And he finally got me to watch the show. And he was like, have you gotten to this episode yet? I'm like, no. And so, like, I told him I was on the episode. And I was watching. It was at my desk watching. I think it was episode 8. It was the one with the big jump scare at the end in the car. And I remember, like, you knowing which episode I was on, and you kept, like, peeking around. Like, I kept seeing you, like, look at me every couple of minutes to, like, see if you could figure out where I was. And that jump scare happened, and I was not expecting it at all because there were no jump scares in, like, the whole thing to that point. And I, like, freaked out, and Kofi filmed it. It was, like, a whole thing.
I filmed several things. I filmed that, and I also filmed when they finally revealed.
The broken neck guy?
The broken neck that was Nell, and that was Nell kind of, and how that time loop kind of worked.
That was a weird few days.
I filmed your face
in
and your mind. I just saw your mind break. It was awesome. I have it on film somewhere. You were just like, wait, what?
Needless to say, I'm very excited about this new one.
Yeah, and it looked even scarier. I was kind of worried about how scary or not it would be, because the first one also had family drama and all this stuff, but this looks plenty freaky. And I'm digging it. October can't get here fast enough.
I mean, Mike Flanagan has really proven himself.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Sleep, Director's Cut, HBO Max. I'll plug that all day. If you haven't seen that, dude, that was so criminally underrated. Dr. Sleep is so great, and Mike Flanagan's a great director. So check
how
that
spooky
out.
Is this, like, from 1 to 10? Because I'm a spooky,
spooky or scary?
Okay, scary.
I mean,
trying to be cute.
Like 8. 1 to 10, to be honest, it's like you got a podcast to do, so definite.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I'm so scared.
It's so much more about the drama of the family and the relationships in the family that it's not just like scary all the time, but the scary parts are very scary.
It's frightening. I'm going to have to watch this alone.
You build such a relationship with these people that it really hits you in a different place. And like, here's
like
a scare.
Hill House?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
You'll be all right. Just watch the first one.
Okay. I'll do it. It's my homework.
Your fiance is out.
There's only one major jump scare in the whole season. And I've never been so caught off guard in a horror movie in my life.
Oh, God.
Oh,
I'm so scared.
It was wild.
You'll be all good.
I don't sleep. I have to watch it like 9 o'clock in the
we'll
morning.
Track your psychological
recover
the
whole day.
Watch it 9 o'clock in the morning then. Then go play some Fall Guys. You'll be fine.
Fall Guys. Thank you.
You'll be fine.
We will trace
my friend,
psychological
you know me.
Impact on the podcast in real time. But right now, we're going to take a break and pay some bills. And when we come back, we're going to talk. Matt's going to get giddy about Marvel's Avengers. Plus, we got reviews of New Mutants, Bill and Ted. And we got to go over what new comic books are headed our way. So stay tuned for all of that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, we're back. Marvel's Avengers is about to come crashing our way this week, along with a whole bunch of other stuff. So we're going to be busy. And Matt Aguilar is excited because there is a Hawkeye development that he can actually get to behind after all his initial bad-mouthing of the Bullman himself.
Yes. So I am excited that Marvel's Avengers announced their next post-launch hero should arrive in October, and it is going to be Kate Bishop, the best Marvel archer in the Marvel Universe. Thank you very much. So I am very excited for that because I get to enjoy all the mechanics, and I don't necessarily have to play Clint Barton. Now, granted, they're going to have like different movesets and different gear and different costumes, so it's not just like a reskin or anything like that. It is a separate new character. Her design, she looks dope. So they didn't show any gameplay. It was like a cool cinematic trailer thing. They did show some glimpses of like the cutscenes, because each one of these post-launch heroes will come with their own little story and their own little like mini arcs, and there's gonna like be a new villain that comes into the mix with her content that comes later this year. So there's gonna be new levels and things like that. So each one of these is gonna be like this little self-contained pod of content. So she looked awesome. I was excited.
I'm watching it right now. I love her cutouts on her like side of the body. Oh my gosh, she looks amazing.
Yeah, let's talk costumes.
The costume looks, I thought it got a way, way better reaction than the Hawkeye one did, because like, yeah. I saw everyone just bagging on the Hawkeye one, even though I didn't actually think it was that bad. But everyone just bagged on it. This one got a much better response.
Well, he didn't have that high fade or the tattoo sleeve. So
yeah, he didn't. Of course we don't like it. Seriously. But no, it's cool. It's cool. I'm digging that. I'm not going to lie. I was a little bummed that like, we're getting another hero that's so close to a hero that is already been announced. You know, you're kind of looking for like a giant jump.
Well,
in gameplay.
I don't know if you've heard, but this isn't the like most tech savvy game. So they probably just got smaller character mods.
I mean, here's the thing. Crystal Dynamics can do bow and arrow. The Tomb Raider games are fantastic in that regard. So she's going to play, and so is Hawkeye, for as much as a bag on him. Hawkeye's going to play probably extremely well. It's going to be really fun and sound stuff. So, I mean, look, go with what you know. But, you know, I'm excited nonetheless. And, yeah, this is release week. Crazy. Marvel's Avengers and The Boys releasing the same weekend. So it's going to be kind of nuts. And
Mulan.
So I only care about two of those things. But,
wow. You don't, of all people, of
Disney
all the people
guy don't
in
care
all
about
this world,
Mulan.
I don't
you don't care.
About, I don't.
Live
I
action
don't,
Lady and the Tramp, five
I,
out of five
right,
stars. Doesn't care about
tell
Mulan.
You something that should tell
you were
you
a
something.
Big fan of Doggies Do at the movie.
That you should tell you something. If I want to go watch Great Mulan, I'll go watch the animated film. This one doesn't look that great, and I've been on that since the beginning. Kofi knows.
Yeah, I mean, you have not changed. You keep.
I have not changed. And I didn't think. And you were. Weren't you the one who were like, "Oh, they won't release it." Straight to,
I said they wouldn't put it on Disney Plus as
they
in,
were
like,
really confident in it.
They're not going to put it as like.
And
a
you
free,
again, you
like
get that asterisk win. I hate this Disney Plus. What
hey,
is it like?
Listen,
premium?
I have so many things. I watched the movie this week. I guess I can react to it. I can't give a graded score. It's great. So, you know, that's all I'll say. We'll talk about it another time. But it's great.
I can't
it's
wait to see
very
it,
good.
Man.
We're gonna leave alone the Charlie and the history of the word great, like which is another awful.
Oh God, I'm not touching that.
But I mean, I can't refute you. But you did win. You okay? You won about New Mutants and you won about Mulan.
I don't think anybody won with Mulan because it went to Disney Plus, but for $30. So yeah. Like
or
that was
premium,
not something
or
I factored
pass.
In.
Disney Plus.
Yeah,
premium
that was
pass,
not so. Factored in by anybody. So
all right, yeah. all right. Shut it down. We're supposed to be talking about Marvel's Avengers. That'll be do it for.
Yeah, that'll be doing for Marvel's Avengers. But real quick, in a link to what we were talking about earlier, because we were talking about like creepy, spooky stuff. Is anyone else watching The Vow on HBO
Max?
Yeah. Because fantastic.
Oh, HBO Max, you say?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't mean
to. Should I say that Roku should have HBO Max?
This is for ball. This is for streaming ballers only. You can mute. We're gonna have a quick conversation.
Oh, my
yes,
God.
We'll do that before New Mutants real quick, because I didn't know how much interest there was going to be. So, yes, I'm watching The Vow also. If you don't know what it is, it's on HBO Max. It's a documentary looking inside that whole Nexium case, which was the kind of sex cult that was being run through a self-help group. That Allison Mack from Smallville was part of, Kristen Creek had been part of at one point, like all these different people in Hollywood had been part of this self-help group, which was then had a subgroup where they were brainwashing women, branding them and using them in a sex cult. So yeah, it's pretty revealing from one, two of the people who kind of, and it's kind of centered around two of the people who left the cult. One of the kind of leaders, main male friends and disciples, and his wife, who was Anakin Skywalker's, or the young version of Uncle Owen, and what's her name from Star Wars, and she was in The Phantom Menace. And like I said, it's just weird Hollywood faces that pop up in this thing. But they narrate.
I'm looking forward to watching it on my Roku someday.
And it starts out, there's some things that are problematic about it, because the presentation I still don't get, because they keep presenting Nexium like as first as like this friendly self-help group thing, and then it slowly like starts to get more and more sinister. But that aside, like, yeah, it's pretty nuts to see.
That second episode
really
starts to lean in towards the like unsettlingness of it, because you really are going on this journey with this person who was sucked up in it so completely, and then really started to like piece together what was really going on. And it's, you know, I feel like I was hooked on after the first episode, but
they do a good job at the end of each episode dropping the cliffhangers that says, nah, you don't even know how crazy this is. Yeah. And then the end of that second episode is just like, oh God. And the scary thing about this one is just the level of duplicitness in it. Like the self-help group really, I mean, they had a real self-help group, community, things like that as a service thing, with this crazy subgroup run by women, like coercing other women, with this one guy, like David Jonesing at the top, like, and kind of having that be a subset and keeping it so secret that nobody within the community even like talked about it or tipped each other off. And the level of mind control that you just begin to see going on, mm-hmm. and like what they're doing in these self-help groups and grooming these people and picking out the ones that are going to be susceptible to this. It's nuts, dude. It's a big theme in 2020 about sex trafficking and putting a shining light on that. But like, I mean, this is nuts. Like, yeah, it is not a joke. The levels of crazy operations that people have been running and it's nuts, dude. So check that out on HBO Max if you can, and take a look at that. Don't worry, Janelle, we'll tell you all the spoilers verbally.
Well, they like make an announcement when I know it's gonna happen. I'm just waiting.
Yeah, I mean, you're affiliated with comic book, I'm sure it'll
I mean, don't you have like a game system that you play with?
I literally have it in my streaming station, and I don't want to sit. I want to like relax on my couch and watch this.
There's a lot of
wants
in this.
I don't want to sit at my computer station and have to watch all of my HBO programming.
You got a lot of wants for 2020.
I mean,
that's okay. You hold on to
that hard. Is it on Apple TV?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, because one of our coworkers was complaining about it to me this morning, and I was like, I'm pretty sure you have it, but all of her Roku HBO apps were deleted.
Roku and Amazon don't have it.
Yeah.
But Apple does.
Yeah.
So weird.
All right. Well, that's our ongoing fight with HBO Max. Next, we're going to review New Mutants and Bill and Ted Face the Music. Charlie, you got both. Take it away. Let's start.
Wait, am I the only one that's seen Bill and Ted? Is it just me?
Yes, I want to see it so bad. I just haven't had time yet.
Which one we do first, Kobe?
Let's go New Mutants first.
All right. New Mutants. This is like the most frighteningly average movie, which is like the worst possible outcome for waiting all this time.
Yeah.
Like, I wrote my review and I alluded to this being like my white whale. Like you've mentioned before, you know, you've been in this industry longer than I have. You've mentioned, Kobe, talking about like, you remember when things were in production. And this was like my one that when I started a comic book in late 2016 and they were like developing this movie, you know, it was being talked about, like they were working on, you know, who was going to make it, do all this stuff. And then it went into production in 2017. And so really from the time that I've been in this industry, I've been talking about this movie. And for a while we're like, this is never going to come out. This is going to be a completely different movie because they're going to reshoot it. And like, you know, where is this going to release? It just, there were so many things about this. And it was like, I felt like Captain Ahab, like I'm never going to see this movie, but when I do, it's going to be great. Like, you know, I'm going to see it, you know, by hook or by crook, and I'm going to figure it out when I'm going to watch it. And I did. And it's fine. Like, I almost wish it would be like a Cats level disaster, because like then I at least like feel like I waited for something. Like, this is just, it just exists. It's not a horrible movie. It's not some giant disaster, but it's not very good either. It's just like, it just is. And you know,
so not worth going to the theater for.
No,
was
not at
it
all.
Worth, I mean, risking your life, Charlie?
If you consider it that, no. You know, I was in a theater with like two or three other people. So I chose my time and my screening carefully. I've been kind of like waiting, you know, if I was something I want to see, which was only that, it was like, I'm going to make sure I go to the right, be flexible, go to the right time at the right theater where I'm going to be as alone as possible. But no, don't go see it in a theater.
The best part of this, by the way, is Charlie's tweet for his review.
Oh, which where I said
was amazing, where he said, hope, I forget how you phrased it.
I said something about like, everyone said this was going to like be bad or be stupid, but I remained hopeful. And then I just like had a couple spaces and it's like, hope is stupid. Here's my review. Because I just feel like I've, like the whole Captain Ahab thing, like I finally got what I was like after for so long. And it's like, well,
Charlie, right, that's why I had an ulterior motive for bringing you on. Because this is a good lesson. As the Zen master said, if you don't know the story about the Zen master, you know, we shall see. You won, but did you really win, Charlie?
I mean, I don't care. It's out and we get to talk about it. And there's some cool things in it. Like the last, you know, the whole point is it's like, let me back up here. The concept of New Mutants and the idea that they were going for is really, really good. It's a really great concept. You know, it's like some Breakfast Club elements, like this teen, you know, drama, but within this like haunted asylum horror story with X-Men powers. Like that, those are really great things. And for me personally, that's just like an amalgamation of all the things that I want. And the execution just was not there. Most of the movie is kind of boring and off-putting, and the dialogue's not great because like they have to get, you know, they're making fun of each other, and it's just, they're bad insults and bad one-liners. Charlie Heaton, there's a reason you don't hear Charlie Heaton speak in the trailers, by the way. I don't know if anyone's seen anything online about this, but the guy who's in Stranger Things, he plays Jonathan Byers. He is from Kentucky. His character, Sam Cannonball, is from Kentucky. Uh-oh. And he has a Southern accent.
Uh-oh.
In this film. It's like an SNL when they make fun of Southern people with like Southern accents.
I'm excited to be here.
It's so bad. It's so bad. They give Anya Taylor-Joy
I'm really
Joy
good at that,
light.
Matt.
That's just her natural Florida voice.
Oh, my God. It's terrible. God.
Hey, I didn't want to hear bad. It. That's a Tennessee.
That's amazing.
That's not anything. That's just, I don't know what that is.
Compared to him? Oh, gosh.
It's real bad. Like, the one-liners, especially with Anya Taylor-Joy, like, she's, like, the bully and, like, makes fun of the new character and Danielle Moonstar and, like, her. She like calls her Pocahontas and like Sitting Bull and stuff. And it's like just really dumb one-liners meant to be offensive. And it's like, well, you just sound stupid. It's not great. And then when you get to the last 20 minutes, 30 minutes of the movie, and they bring out a lot of the horror stuff, the kind of like the nightmares kind of get realized. And then they start doing X-Men power stuff. It looks great. And it goes really well. The Demon Bear looks awesome. Limbo looks awesome.
When it becomes an X-Men movie and not some weird Breakfast Club horror thing.
Amazing.
I wonder why that is.
The horror elements are done really well. Like the designs of the Smiley Man and like they're really good. And if we could have had more of that through the movie, I think it worked better. The funniest, most ironic thing about this is that what this movie really needed was some reshoots. Like, they were, the whole thing was they're going to do these reshoots and like redo the whole movie. And I don't know if that was necessary or not, but like every movie has reshoots for the most part to like clean things up and get a couple better takes. And it desperately needed that. There were times when like the ADR, you know, like the voice did not feel like it was coming from, like, it didn't quite match up. It felt weird. It felt off putting. It needed a lot of help just cleaning it up. And once Disney bought it, they weren't putting any more money into it. And yeah. Fox had planned these months-long reshoots to completely reset the whole thing. And so when they canceled those, they didn't even get like the regular reshoots that they actually needed. So it's just kind of a mess. And it feels rushed, which is crazy because the movie's been sitting there for 4 years. Of all the movies to feel rushed, this should not be the one that feels rushed, but it is.
But to their defense, like, they didn't want to have such a big buildup. Like, they didn't ask for that.
No,
they were forced into that.
No, that's out of their control.
I kind of feel bad because the expectations just kept getting, and people were getting more and more hyped and excited about it. And they're like, oh, God.
And it also became like, maybe this is going to be like the worst movie ever. And it wasn't that either. You know, it was just like, it was fine. It was kind of, I think it was better than Dark Phoenix, you know, but it's not like a Days of Future Past situation where I'm like, oh man, like I'm gonna, like I want to watch when this comes out on Blu-ray or on digital, like I'll watch it again. I want to see the Demon Bear stuff, you know, happen again. Like
You're just kind of sputtering now, but I got it perfectly.
It really tied into, or I can see what they were doing with X-Men Apocalypse and Logan. There's a lot of connective tissue that you could tell wasn't like forced in there, but it was just, it was kind of underground a little bit. There's some footage, Brandon and I were talking, we think that like there might have actually been some like footage that was shared between Logan and this, some flashback stuff. They definitely were trying to set up like a whole big Mr. Sinister storyline to be like the Thanos of the X-Men movies. And I mean, obviously we know.
Well, now that's over and we're moving on. So last question to answer, and this is a good segue. Is it more worthwhile to risk your life in theater for New Mutants or stay home and pay some bucks for Bill and Ted 3?
I mean, I'm not going to encourage anyone to go to the movies to see New Mutants. But, I mean, obviously Bill and Ted is the answer there. Bill and Ted Face the Music is very good. It's
exactly
what it needs to be.
Yes!
You know, I mean, if you're looking for, like, an Oscar-winning movie, like, this isn't that. But it never tries to be. Like, it's exactly what the other two Bill and Ted movies are. But with modern audiences, you know, with a modern vibe, and it works incredibly well. You know, Bill and Ted are obviously very funny. Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter are great in those roles, and we love seeing them. And you can tell how much fun they're having, and it's really just exciting to watch them have fun. Their daughters in the film are great. Samara Weaving and Bridget Lundy Payne, they're both exceptional in the roles. Kid Cudi's really good in the movie. We get some of Death, who was, you know, Bogus Journey is my personal favorite of all of them. And so seeing him back and him getting to do his thing was really great. Honestly, the MVP of the whole thing, and you guys, I know, have watched stuff with this guy, but Anthony Carrigan, you don't realize it's him in the movie, but Anthony Carrigan steals literally every single moment he's in that movie. There's this character named Dennis, who is a robot that is sent to destroy, to kill Bill and Ted. And you find out kind of like at the end of the second act of this movie, you learn more about this robot. And this robot is played by Anthony Carrigan, who, if you don't know that name, he was Victor Zsasz on Gotham, and he's NoHo Hank on Barry. And if you've watched Barry, you know how funny Anthony Carrigan really is.
He's a national
and player. He's got some like incredible lines that just, his comedic timing is so good that it'll have you rolling. It feels very much like the kind of movie you want right now in this moment. It is escapist. It is goofy and silly, but in a way that never feels forced. It's Bill and Ted, and it feels like classic Bill and Ted. And if you don't like Bill and Ted, maybe don't watch this, but I haven't met many people who don't like Bill and Ted. I likened it a lot to the opposite of how I felt about Godzilla King of Monsters. You know, like some people are like, oh, this movie, we only want it to be this. You know, everyone with Godzilla was like, we don't care about the story or the plot. We just want to see monsters fighting. But then Godzilla King of Monsters was like trying to have this big important plot. And they're just like, well, now you're just kind of ruining all the monsters fighting because the plot's not very good. This is like, we just want to have fun. And that's all we're going to try to do. We're not going to try to like get really complicated with the time travel stuff. We're just going to make jokes and we're going to laugh and we're going to go on this adventure with these two guys who could not be sillier. They know 100% what they're trying to do through the whole thing. And it works really, really well. So I do encourage everyone to watch Bill and Ted, especially if you like the first two. You will not be disappointed with this one.
What's the on-demand price?
So it's like Scoob. So it's $20 to rent, but it's $25 to buy it permanently. And most new movies that you buy digitally are 20 bucks anyway. For 25 bucks, that's steep, but then to be able to like to keep it, you know, I think it's definitely worth the purchase in that regard. I'm excited for when the Blu-ray comes out. I'm sure there's going to be some really fun like special features and gag reels and different things in this. But yeah, it's classic Bill and Ted hijinks, and you know, I can't not recommend that to anyone. You know, it's too much fun. It's too enjoyable to pass up.
All right. So those are Charlie's two reviews today. Let's talk about comic books. Matt, what do we have coming our way this week? What should we be on the lookout for?
Sure thing. So DC, we've got Batman number 98, which I imagine we'll talk about a little bit next episode, but it's the next step in Joker War. We also have Deceased, Dead Planet number 3, which I cannot wait for just because of that, how that last issue ended and crazy screwed up Plastic Man and devouring people.
That was pretty much a nightmare.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that one. We also have Teen Titans Beast Boy, which is the next entry in that series from the previously DC Inc., now just like young adult section.
DC Onyx.
Which has been very, very good. And then they announced a sequel that's going to bring those two characters together for next year. So that's exciting. We then have Lonely Receiver number 1, a new series from Aftershock. We have We Only Find Them When They're Dead number 1, which is the new series from Al Ewing and Simone DeMio. I have not read the issue yet, but the art on this book is phenomenal. So I'm very excited for that. That's a new series from Boom Studios. We also have Buffy the Vampire Slayer number 17, which for fans of the Buffyverse like me and Jamie, you are going to want to read this one just because there is a person that we have long awaited to join the series and they pop up. So you're definitely going to want to check this out. We also have Spy Island number 1 from Dark Horse. We have Star Trek Hell's Mirror number 1. My Little Pony Transformers number 2 in the crossover that no one knew they wanted. Die number 13. We have a new series from Image, which is getting a lot of hype, which is Inkblot number 1. We have Black Widow number 1, the new Black Widow series from Kelly Thompson. Empire number 6, the final issue in this very weird event. So I imagine we've got thoughts on
like
that.
One of the most forgettable,
yes,
poorly plotted, just Marvel crossover events I've ever seen.
It's been kind of bad.
I mean, it's been really bad.
Really, I haven't read any of the books, but I've read, because I read Venom and Fantastic Four,
yeah,
like, and I've read their tie-ins, and it's
for the tie-ins and for all the hype and for everything else, this is like by Fear itself. This is in that category of Marvel event, as opposed to like.
But at least that has several different like fun, distinct characters. This has like a bait and switch with the plant people, who are the least interesting Marvel like antagonist I've ever seen.
I don't, it reminds me of like, of Axis a lot.
I mean, I don't even remember or care about the Swordsman history with Mantis.
Yeah, that ended up being
Celestial, Madonna. Like, all that stuff is just like, get out of here. Like, FOH with that. Like, come on, man.
Honestly, like, Age of Khonshu has been a better event.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed
every other event in Marvel right now, the only thing that people who knew how to have fun with this Empire crap was the X-Men.
That was fun.
The people who knew how to at least have fun with it. X-Men like fighting the Crotati on Genosha with a bunch of mutant zombies who have their own gripes and problems with the world and Scarlet
Witch.
What's
the name of the
Horticulture?
Yes,
group and getting in the middle. And just the dialogue in the fight scenes with Horticulture versus the X-Men versus dead mutant zombies versus the plant people. Like, that stuff was just so ridiculous that it was fun.
If you want to read good magic, read that series.
And magic kind of great. Becoming a badass in that and slaughtering things and, like, just, that was at least fun. X-Men knew how to have fun with that. Like, the rest of Marvel...
It's been disappointing, to say the least.
And, like, main series are probably, like, one of the most, like, just fractured... half-cocked main books I've ever read. There's like no plot to the main ones. I'm like,
it's been a weird reversal because typically that's what tie-ins are. But you know, for this series, it just feels like they're drawing from A to B, and then we'll go read the actual story. Because like Captain Marvel's been good because again they've taken a very small slice and like had fun with it. There was another tie-in series, and I'm blanking on which one it was, but there was one other one that was actually, like, pretty fun and interesting, but again, it's because they took a little slice and ran with it, as opposed to just this, it's just messy. So it's ending. So yay, it's ending. That's good news. We also have rounding out things, Wolverine number 5. And for the game fans out there, Titan Books has Horizon Zero Dawn number 2. So that is comics.
I'm starting House of M tomorrow. Yay.
In the good event category.
I had to finish Harry Potter book 5, which was not easy to get through for me. And now I'm starting my comic book. I'm back on my comic book grind. So I'm excited.
Is that Half-Blood Prince? Is that, what's 5?
No.
Phoenix.
Yeah,
Phoenix. It's the one where Sirius goes bye-bye, Dolores Umbridge and all that.
Yeah,
don't
Phoenix.
Spoil for people.
Phoenix is where I stopped caring because Sirius goes. And Sirius is the best character in Harry Potter.
Snape's really my favorite, character. So.
Snape is also really good.
Yeah.
Sirius and Lupin. I wish Lupin had like a whole thing.
You are so right on that. Okay, anyways. Not Harry Potter discussion.
Any more comics?
No, that's it. That's been
good. All right. Now we're getting out of here. That'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. Thank you for tuning in. We drop new episodes every Wednesday and Friday on comicbook.com where you can listen to the show. Or you can subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, which apparently a lot of you are doing these days. So we are on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Google Playlists, Spotify, and Stitcher. If you want to watch the show, we post episodes live on Facebook every Wednesday and Friday. Or you can tell an Amazon Alexa device to fire up Comic Book Nation Podcast, and it'll get it playing for you. If you want to discuss with us, share anything, especially about the Chadwick Boseman stuff, or just say what's up. You can always find us around the hashtag Comic Book Nation, or you can find me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can find me at Matt Aguilar CB.
You can find me at Janelle Wheeler and on Twitch, same name.
And I'm at Charlie Ridgely.
I forget if we ever say anything. Oh, yes, t-shirts. If you want a t-shirt like the one I am wearing, if you can see me, we have a whole closet of them at the studio. I'm beginning to forget because we haven't been back in so long, but we need to get rid of that merch. 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We're going to read them all off. Like, let's just not mince words anymore. Once we have a chance, we're just going to start thanking people, even if we don't read your review. We'll shout you out, thank you, and get a t-shirt sent your way. So leave those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. That'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. We hope you guys are still trudging through 2020. Keep your heads up. Come and hang out with us whenever you can. We'd love to talk with you. We'll see you then. Peace.
Deuces.